What up, EDM champions? Guess what? We're bringing back the artist spotlights. This is the first one of the year, 2020. And we're kicking it off with somebody that you've already heard his name before on the podcast. You know who he is. You know what he's about. His name is Tyler Lawrence. He's from San Francisco. He's got the disco. And he's put together a fantastic mix for you guys right here on Beyond the Beat Sessions. Check it out.
What's going on, guys? It's Tyler Lawrence from San Francisco. Thanks for tuning in to my special mix for my boys over here at Beyond the Beats. Watch me.
White House, I'm a giant in my city like 354. Shout out to the homies reppin' 354. We don't even need to talk, but you need my dough. We up top, he needs to understand it. Get money, what the plan is. Young thug, catch me chillin' with a fan is. Hit a bitch once, dip off, then I vanish. I be going to work. I be going to work. Real top, I be going to work. I be going to work.
We'll be right back. Roll down that window, you just my tempo. Then roll around up in my bed, make you crescendo. Don't need no fake friends, don't want no innuendos. I read your body language, and girl, you speak my lingo. Yeah, you non-fiction. I know some niggas that you dirty, but you not tripping. You just want someone with keys, I'm sick of lock picking. Let's take it slow, everything in life is fast. Good things don't last forever, okay, neither do the bad. I don't like to get attached, it happens easily with me. So I had to pump the brakes, you driving leisurely with me. Take your scenery with me. Pick up speed if needed be. Ain't no rush, don't need discussions. That's the frequency we beat.
Take a spin on double D's. Make sure we end up at a double tree. That's info. Fuck around, that's nympho. Shout out family, that's been folk. Shout out man, y'all been jokes. On the man, that's giving. On the man, that's winning. Yeah. On the plan, no riches. Yeah. Extra avaricious, vicious, vicious. Gotta break money just to make money. Y'all just take from me. On the bank, homie. Got the stank on me. That's the dank on me. It's a tank coming. Shooting blanks from me like please. Yeah. Y'all don't know how I be. Yeah. Faxing with that fee. Yeah. Running with my fleet, fleet, fleet. I make sure I got that roll on me, just in case y'all tryna roll on me. Y'all can't switch no rolls on me. All I got is all this gold on me. Gotta heat it, burn it. Money is a motive and we keep it turning. That's that shit, ain't it true? I've been feeling for it. All up on my line when I come through when I slide. It's a fire, it's a fight. Gotta heat it, burn it.
Believe me, I could live without you, but already done what you. dancing on the people, rolled up at the after joint, dancing on the people, dancing on the people. I got people on the people, dancing on the people with the people on the people, smoking CO2. See me, see you dancing on the people, climb up on the booth, hanging from the people on the people.
Samir, man, this mix is just what an amazing showcase of musical diversity, my man. Like, there's just straight so up. Much packed into here. There's so much depth to it. I love the creativity that Tyler employs within this mix. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's awesome to see just the sheer amount of creativity and breadth and depth within it. But I tell you, man,
it's like, oh, you thought I played trap only? Oh, you thought I only played house?
Absolutely.
Oh, you thought I played future bass? No, he's not messing around over here, baby. He's got a lot of diversity. Alec, is he, I think I heard a voice on the other end. Did you hear something?
I think I might have. It might be. There might be. Oh, he's here. Oh, my God. I've completely forgot. We're recording with the man himself, Tyler Lawrence. Dude, thank you for coming on to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing excellent. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Doing pretty well. We're staying healthy for now. I mean, I know we were talking offline about it, but it's, you know, all the coronavirus stuff. We just talked about it extensively on our podcast episode, but we're starting to, you know, keep very, you know, washing our hands and things. And
it's funny. It's all you gotta really do is wash your hands thoroughly, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When I was washing my hands most recently, I was counting to 20 in my head. I was like,
oh, yeah.
When I got to like the 10 second mark, I was like, holy shit.
It's the 20 second, Samir, my man. Come on. It's 20 seconds lather and 30 seconds rinse.
What? 30 seconds rinse? Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, yeah, dude. I know. No one's
got time for a minute. I'm learning so much.
No one's got time.
I'm learning so much. Is this a podcast about personal health? Is that what this is about?
Yes, we've pivoted. It's a brand new
podcast. Sounds like it, yeah. But branching off, hit it all.
Beyond the coronavirus. All right, dude. Tyler, welcome to the show. I mean, you already know, man, we are really, really big fans of you. We love your music. We love what you're doing. It's just really, really great to finally have you on. Like, this was a long time coming, and I'm just really pumped for you to be here. EDM Champions, in case you guys forgot, I had featured Tyler Lawrence on a really, really early episode of the podcast. The way I found this guy is I'm a really big fan of Chad Goes Deep. You guys might know him as the guy who's trying to make sure that parties don't get banned in Southern California, that everybody has access to Lime scooters, you know, that there's a Paul Walker statue erected. I mean, he's a really, really funny dude, has a great podcast. And Tyler Lawrence actually started to work on a song that included a vocal bite of Chad Goes Deep, Chad Kroger. So what did Chad do? Reposted on the story. I'm like, this is a banger. This is freaking amazing. I need this to be played at house parties. I reached out to him. I was like, dude, I love this. Yeah. Checked out his SoundCloud. So much creativity. I was blown away.
Thank you, brother.
Like sometimes, like, you know, you check out an artist and like they got like one really cool, like creative song. And the rest of their songs are just like, you know, this could be worked on. No, Tyler, every single one of your songs has an immense amount of creativity. So really, really excited to hear from you.
Tell us about yourself. Yeah.
Tell us about yourself, man. Like, how did you get started in the music scene? Like, where does your formal education lie? Like, we want to know your passion. So tell us about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of been doing music my whole life. I just recently, you know, started taking it seriously and started this Tyler Lawrence project like literally a year ago at the end of March, actually. But I've been playing guitar since fifth grade. First instrument I played, violin, you know, did all the whole nine. I started producing like rap beats and stuff. Way, you know, when all your boys, you're in eighth grade, all your boys are freestyling. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah.
If, of course, if you dig, talking about juice boxes.
If you dig really deep, there used to be, I used to have a mixtape actually on Dat Piff way back in the day. Oh yeah.
What?
Oh yeah.
I did not know that. I'm going to have to find that. That's
pretty
cool.
Oh, yeah. That was some funny stuff, dude. But just doing that all throughout high school, took a break when I went away to school. My, you know, mom and dad might be listening to this. Had to make sure I was studying very hard in school. But then started diving back into EDM again as I, you know, started to really, really fall in love with producing again. Just started really getting after it this past year, and it's been a lot of fun.
Let's just dive right into it, because one of the things that really, really shocked me about you as an artist and the way that you take your tracks and the direction that you take them in is that you really try to find very, very interesting sounds. And when I featured you on the podcast as an artist that we're watching, the song that I played that I'm still playing all the time to this day is Speaking in Tongues.
Speaking in tongues.
I really, really like that song a lot. One of my favorite parts about that track is the fact that you took an Indian hymn and you incorporated it into this really, really dope beat. You don't really hear like cultural influences like that in EDM. Yes, there are some genres, especially in psytrance, because you know psytrance has some origins in India. But like outside of that, you don't really hear it all that much. So, Tyler, like, where does this creativity stem from? Like, how did you identify, like, I want to try this out. I want to take some risks here and try something that people aren't really doing right now in the EDM scene.
That's kind of just how I think. Like, I've been talking to my buddies about this recently too. I get bored easily, That kind of really pushes my creativity when I make stuff, because, I don't want to hear the same thing, at least for me, when I'm making stuff. I don't want to make the same thing over and over again. So I think that really pushes me to, throw a Indian prayer on a trap beat. You know what I mean? Or throw in Chad Goes Deep. The skate competition in Real Bros of Simi Valley. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I'm trying to entertain myself to an extent. And it's, nice to hear from you guys and from everybody else who's kind of been following the journey that they are being entertained as well.
That's the key thing there, man. I think a lot of people don't realize that artists, we kind of think of artists as these creative vessels, right? If you're just an average consumer, you're just looking at it, it's just like an artist. You're not really thinking about what it means for them, right? You're just like, it's all about me, 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 me. But when we talk to artists on here, what's amazing to see is to hear about is just the stories behind how artists cultivate their sounds. And so when you say that you're just doing it to entertain yourself and stuff too, I think that rings probably true for a lot of different producers out there, that at the end of the day, they're making music that they want to enjoy, and then hopefully other people can be brought along the way. So how are you getting your name out there? How are you getting other people to join you on this journey?
It's a lot of legwork. As excited as I am with my production and stuff and kind of where I'm headed, it's a grind. It's just like, we were talking earlier, you do sales, same thing, 150 cold calls a day, cold emails, shaking babies, kissing hands. Yeah, the whole nine, dude.
It's not about the shaking the babies part there, but that's
isn't
not
that what they say? Isn't that the motto? I don't know. It's something like
shaking hands and kissing babies.
It's
come on, man.
Something like that.
I don't know. I kind of like the reverse of it. It's a little more. Just
That's
shake
dangerous.
The baby, don't kiss it.
But yeah, man. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. We were talking earlier and about stuff like this, and even though it's a grind, it's something I really enjoy.
Absolutely, and like. And that, just for some context, man, I remember texting Tyler about going out on a weekend, right? And he texted me back saying he's got to be up at 4 a.m. Bear in mind, this is a weekend. And I'm like, what are you waking up at 4 a.m. for? And he said that I've got to go do some producing before work. So, Tyler, you put in all this work, man. How do you keep up the motivation for it? Because it's a creative endeavor. It's, I feel like it's hard sometimes to just be, how do you combine creativity with just the grind, right? Like it's hard to combine the two. How do you do that? How do you keep yourself going?
Creating is kind of how I escape from, the mundaneness of like a routine or schedule, what's going on. It's kind of, it's like my escape. So it's not really, I don't really need to be motivated to sit down and do stuff. I just need to give myself the time. And kind of with my schedule, the only real time recently I've been able to sit down and crank stuff out or work on, old stuff, study, read, watch videos, all that. Nine is, in the morning before work, because as much as I tried to, grind after work, dude, there's no way. I'm so dead. I'm falling asleep right now at like 9:30, bro.
Yeah. I 100% feel that, man. We know the effort that goes into working on a project that you're passionate about. So 100% hear that.
Yeah. And you guys are doing the same thing, if you don't mind. Like, you guys are doing the same thing. You guys are grinding hard, bro.
We try, man.
You guys have had some cool people on this, man. I can't lie.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much. I want to ask you, though, like, where do you draw your inspiration from? Like, are there any specific artists that really motivated you to make the kind of music that you make today? Like, what genres, what artists, who influenced you in creating the sounds you make with the Tyler Lawrence Project?
You know, it's kind of a little bit of everything. I guess artist-wise, I kind of hold Skrillex up as my goat. Not that I'm making anything like that, but I'm starting to get to a point where I'm more confident in my sound design that I'm willing to kind of go that avenue, I guess. But inspiration, man, I draw inspiration from any artist that's fun. You know what I mean? I'm a very, you know, optimistic, glass half full, fun type of guy. So anything that gets me kind of in that dancing, happy mood is, I find inspiring. I'm a big Muramasa fan. Big, you know, Dylan Francis guy, you know, anything that's making you, you know, jump up and down and, you know, groove is kind of my creme de la creme.
You started with making hip hop beats, like you just said. I mean, I got to still find that Dat Piff, you know, mixtape that you put out. I'm shocked. I honestly did not know that.
And yeah, so, my girl didn't either. I just showed it to her last night and she was jawed on the floor.
Dude, all right, you got to send her over to that, man. And so you started with hip hop, you know, the boys in the middle school yard, y'all messing around on GarageBand.
Oh, yeah.
Then you moved, you know, you started to produce EDM, but like what would you say is the defining moment where you were like, I want to explore the EDM side of music production?
Like really diving into it. I mean, when I started picking it back up at the end of college, it was mainly just because I got to the point with listening and appreciating it so much that I started to realize what it really was. And what really got me into wanting to learn more about it was, it's just in my head, it's just the utmost avenue. It's the utmost avenue that you can have to create. Like your possibilities are literally endless in this. Like, I mean, you guys see it all the time. Like, see,
love that.
Like Nitty Gritty, just taking any sound off YouTube and just making a banger.
Yeah,
like
totally.
You can do anything. And me, I love to just create stuff and, you know, anything really. And music is like, you know, my main passion, my love. And yeah, I just got really into kind of finding this out. So it's been fun. It's been hella fun.
And what got you into EDM from the get-go? Like, what's kind of like, how did you get introduced to it?
It was way back in the day. I think the first EDM song that I was ever shown was, my buddy was trying to get me hooked on it, and he got me a Feed Me track, and that was a little heavy.
A little too heavy.
It is very aggressive electro.
Yeah, it was a little too heavy at first, but he goes, oh, I know exactly what you need to hear. Never mind. And then puts on Madeon's Razor Weapon remix. And
fantastic.
That one did it for me. He knew exactly what I needed to hear. I needed some poppy sing-along, I love you type of stuff. You know? So,
of course.
Favorites. That's all we love.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I would say you and I are pretty much alike in that sort of situation. Like, I'm a pretty like emotional, lovey person, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He's a real sweetheart.
I'm a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Except for when it comes to like small talk and shit like that. I'm like, no, I don't have time for that. Get out of here.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
The
clock's ticking away, you know.
We're busy people, okay?
We are busy guys, yeah.
Martha from accounting.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Alec, come on.
No, I was just saying, like, I think people always have really interesting ways of diving into the EDM scene. So was there also, like, a particular... What was, like, your first rave, if you recall it? Or, I guess, series of events that you went to that truly got you into the scene?
So the first... EDM set I ever saw, electro set, was Disclosure at Outside Lands.
Nice, man, a
party if I've ever seen one. You know, that was like right after they came out with Latch, I believe. I'm a huge disco guy. My parents raised me on classic rock and disco, and that was so funky. I just fell in love with that.
I love that.
And then like the day after, day three was Flume, and his set was just insane. This is right as He was like really starting to get big. He was playing like he was on a 3:30 time slot at Outside Lands. And I remember it just so happened that the only other group that was supposed to be playing that time was Churches. And these guys had to cancel. They just couldn't get out to the festival. So it just so happened that he was the only person playing at 3:30. And it was crazy. I have never, every single person at that festival was at that set. There were people climbing trees to see this guy. It was crazy. That definitely got me hooked. I'd never seen that before.
What was it? What was it about it that got? Was it just like the energy?
Yeah. It was. Everybody was trying to be, and you got, you know, Flume stuff. It just makes you smile and rock your head, right? So like, totally. Absolutely. So like everybody's just trying to fight to get into this pit so they can feel this energy. It was. You know, it's just cool as hell. Got me hooked on it.
Yeah, I went through a similar thing too, man. Like it's just the energy when you first experience electronic music live. I don't think there's any other type of music that can simulate that same type of feeling. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I love other forms of music, don't get me wrong, but just seeing electronic music live, it's like whenever I try to introduce people to it, I'm like, okay, it's one thing to listen to it, but to really get it, you got to go to a show. You got to see it live.
Yeah.
I think kind of everything, though, has that certain type of energy. You just got to know how to look for it, right? Like,
right.
I've seen some great, you know, sets and stuff like that, but still, my favorite concert that I've ever been to this day was the first concert I ever saw, which was Green Day, right on their American Idiot tour.
Oh, nice.
That was one of the best shows I've ever seen. Jimmy Eat World opening for Green Day. Oh my god, yeah.
Oh, dude. What?
Mhm.
Damn it. I wish I was like attending like live music events during that time, man. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, my dad took me to that. He said, "You got to see a good show, man."
You got a good dad. That's awesome.
Yeah, real
dude. That is so sweet. Your dad fucking rocks. We need to have him on the show.
I'm about to call my parents and be like, "Mom, Dad, what is this? You used to see Green Day when I was in middle school? What the hell?"
Yeah, exactly. My dad was my parents gave me my love for music. They were always rocking out. Always. My dad's the king of air guitar.
I love that. What do they think of your music now?
They love it.
Yeah?
Nice.
They absolutely love it. My mom, this is such a mom moment. She you know how at the end of the year, everybody, Spotify gives you your top artists?
Yep.
Yeah.
My mom was so happy. She texted me a screenshot of it and she said, "Look, you're number one. I beat out George Strait."
Oh, wow. Wow.
Nice.
It was me, George Strait. Thanks, Mom.
That's amazing. What up, Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, but yeah, they love it, man. They love that I'm doing something that they know I've been so passionate about all my life, you know?
You know, you got a very, very supportive family. Like, tell us a little bit more about the support network that surrounds you. Like, the people that are helping you achieve your dreams and how that plays into the music that you create and your energy and your focus in growing the Tyler Lawrence project.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough, you know, like we were talking about this before, like doing a full-time job, trying to get better at producing every day, plus trying to, shake enough hands, or sorry, no, corona, pound enough fists, where you can, grow from where you are. It's tough. There's not enough hours in the day, right? So
yeah.
I'm very fortunate where I've surrounded myself with people who have my back. You know what I mean? They understand that, you know, I'm not, you know, going to be going out with them, you know, every single weekend because I got shit to do. And, you know, they 100% got me all the way. It's nice, you know, because there's a lot to balance in life. And if you're not balancing everything well, that kind of anxiousness that you get from not balancing everything in life well bleeds into all like everything else you do, and it, you know, can just destroy your mood, and when you're creating stuff, that's brutal. So I'm very fortunate that I got, you know, the pals and everybody else, fam, friends who surround me and, you know, really got my back on this journey.
And so, you know, you were just talking about how you got to balance everything in life, and, you know, for all the different projects that you have hands in, you know, whether it be you know, friendships, relationships, you know, full-time jobs and, you know, working on your passion projects. But how do you find the time to do it all? Like, I feel like what a lot of people see in the scene today is big artists, and that's like, that's where they are now. But like, I feel like they don't see like the years and the years of grinding and the sacrifices that had to be made.
Yeah.
So how do you balance it all,
well,
man,
yeah,
in your journey to growing and, you know, gaining more listeners and fans?
Yeah. Well, you know, nobody ever sees the grind. Everybody, yeah, all fans to a certain extent, anybody who listens to anything, you know, everybody, nobody sees what took the artist there. They only see the success, you know.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, last fall, it was when my schedule started to get pretty brutal because I was going back to music production school. I was going to Peermind here in San Francisco. It was a grind, but you just have to, you know, learn how to time prioritize, I guess, right? You just got to, like I'm doing now, I'm waking up early in the morning because that's when I have time to get better. Balancing's tough. You just got to fail at it for a while and find what kind of your top priorities are.
It's really a great point, man, because I think just with everything, right? Not just music. It's just you sometimes really have to fail in order to know how to succeed, you know?
No, you really do.
You really do. It's just one of those things where learning how to fail, right? And learning how to just be able to take that on the chin, but keep on pushing afterwards, keep on grinding, get back to it is such an important step. And I think just, you know, for every person that's out there listening to this right now, who might be struggling with completing things, whether they're in school, if they're doing something at work, it's just hearing someone like you talk about how the fact that you get up at 4 a.m. just to produce music, right? This is your passion, but you're pursuing your passion as well as your regular job is incredibly inspiring, man. Like it's really, that's why, honestly, I don't know about you, Samir, but that's why I personally love talking to artists and stuff, is because
completely agree.
It's such a hard thing to do, like, you know, just to go and pursue that creative talent. And so maybe something that would be helpful too, man, is if you could share maybe an experience of, like, you know, failure, quote unquote, that might have turned into something, you know, where you learned from. Like, what have you learned from in order to keep on growing as an artist?
I'd say the thing that really got me in this mindset that I was willing to fail, because that's something, you know, that we're not really taught ever to accept failure. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're scared to fail like our entire lives. So,
well, and think about that in school too, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I mean, how you're graded, you are taught to fear getting less than some numerical value, right?
Yeah.
On a grade. Like you're literally taught to fear failure. Sorry for hopping in there, but I think that's
for
people, right?
No, I totally agree. That was same thing with me, right? I was always scared to fail. But then when I graduated, I went to the first job I had out of college. I was doing, you know, 150 cold calls a day, you know, cold emailing, trying to set 10 meetings a week, all that. And that is where I finally, you know, mentally started to grasp the idea, bro, you have to fail 1,000 times. 100,000 times, or what, 100,000 times to really succeed once. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the mindset. You have to know that every time you fail, you're not only learning from that and gaining experience, but you're gaining more confidence because you've ran through it before. And it's a lot of reps, you know? It's
just go put those reps in, man.
You gotta put those reps out. In.
They're at the gym or with your
chest press, pull-ups.
Oh yeah, dude, that's how you get stronger. You don't get tough going to bench press twice. No. You gotta do that for a year and a half straight, and then maybe you'll start to look good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and you've done music, I mean, your whole life, right? So I think that's it's interesting too. People have to always bear in mind that you're seeing yourself on the journey of the Tyler Lawrence brand started long ago, right? Way before any of this. Like, this is just the, you know, culmination. I mean, how did you learn to put all of this stuff together into music? I mean, where'd you pick up these skills?
I've been doing it, you know, my whole life. My escape was always music, right? I was talking about how I used to make beats and you know, make music with all the boys in, you know, middle school and high school. I used to get in trouble. I used to get grounded because I wasn't doing my homework. My mom would, middle school, I remember, my mom would leave. She was going to go drop my brothers off at practice. She came home and she see my mic set up in my bedroom and I'm out there slapping. And she just comes in, rips me. Yeah, you know, that's how I've always kind of escaped from everything.
I'm sorry, I just have to pause here. I just, you know, kind of chuckle. Are you from California?
Like, yep.
Born and raised?
Yep, born
okay,
and raised.
Okay, I could tell, like, you just got the California lingo down, dude. Like, it's just, I just love picking up on so many dope terms, man. I'm loving it.
Smiz will get it. Come over to California.
I love that. Alec, what were you saying earlier? You're super granola now? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, it's super crunchy, dude. Alec, hold on. Crunchiest dude I know.
I like that better. I'm super granola now. I like that.
Well, that's where it came from. Like, that's where the word crunchy comes from out of that.
Yeah. I like it. Oh man, I'm sitting here. I've got my aromatherapy thing going on, man. As soon as I came over to California, it's like Jesus,
freaking lavender.
I know. Yeah. No,
and guess what? Guess what? You feel better, don't you?
Oh, dude, so much better. Healthier. I feel whole. I feel one with the environment. With all
I'm
my
ready
brethren
to walk out into Sixth Ave on my way home and smell the smog and the trash. Well,
funnily
the
enough, though,
carts.
Man,
like, don't worry, we're still smelling that here, man.
Oh yeah, you do. Yeah, see, it's interesting because it's very different out here on the West Coast. Like, I could see why so many creatives come out here, because I mean, it's just spectacular. It's stunning around here, right? And so, does that influence the way that you make music at all? Like, do you feel like some people, like, it's kind of cheesy, but some people take inspiration from how beautiful everything is around them.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to have a couple avenues to get inspired. Yeah, like earlier today, I went and, you know, took a little walk around the city. But no, I'm mainly inspired by melodies. I know a lot of artists will talk about, like, oh, they go to you know, an art museum, and that way they get inspired, or listen to, you know, they'll listen to music or you know, anything, watch movies, anything like that. But no, I'm really inspired by melody.
It's so apparent as we're talking to you, like, how much passion you have for music and, like, growing Tyler Lawrence. You have a full-time job right now, but is this what you want to do? Like, is this it? Like, you want Tyler Lawrence to become your full-time job? And what, like, how did you come to that decision? How did you make this decision? Like, this is what you want to do, full force, full steam ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I think every artist has kind of got the same backstory where, you know, all they've ever dreamed about was being on a stage, performing in front of people, you know, like mine was, I wanted to be Billy Joe Armstrong, lead singer for Green Day, right? That's where I wanted to be. So I think they all start out like that. But at the end of the day, what really made me want to dive into this with the effort and passion that I have now was graduating and getting my first job. You know, I'm sitting there at a, you know, top four firm. I was doing a financial advisor program, working hard, but I was not as happy as I thought I was going to be.
Was it the small talk or like the water cooler talk that you didn't like?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe it was, you know, exactly. The corporate world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was taxing on the, you know, my creativity, right? But as soon as I, even with that going on, as soon as I started making music again and taking this seriously, I saw how much happier I was throughout the day. I've been feeling so good doing this project. And that's what excites me the most, is the fact that, you know, I'm at where I am now. You know, you guys are, you know, all about me. I appreciate that. I got a group of friends who are all about me, and I'm starting to gain some traction now. But at the end of the day, I'm having this much fun at where I am now. So I can't even imagine how much more fun I'm going to keep having as this gets bigger and bigger.
I love it. I like how, like, you're focusing on this aspect of just continue to have fun with it. And in turn of having fun with it, you're also growing. And I really, really love to hear that. I think it's a great message for all artists. And where do you see the Tyler Lawrence Project in 5 years, right? I don't want to make this sound like you're in a job interview right now, but I think it's just always really, I'm always curious to hear, like, from artists, like, where do they see themselves in 5 years?
Yeah. You know, I don't try to look that far ahead. Obviously, 5 years from now, dream would be where I would be making enough money off this where, you know, playing shows, and I'd be making enough money off this where I don't have to be doing a full-time job. But at the end of the day, you gotta, this is a long, long journey. And you take it day by day. Every day I'm just sitting down and trying to get better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And are you a type of person that kind of, do you, I almost like to say, schedule out moments for inspiration? Like, do you have to create like a time plan for yourself to devote to producing? Or do you kind of just, if you feel inspired one time, you're like, right, I've got to go start producing now? Is it, or is it a mix of both?
So like while I'm waking up in the morning, if I'm not inspired, at least I'm like to create, at least I'm sitting down and, you know, editing something, right? But no, I don't, I'll chop out time for that. So I know 100% I'm getting my hours in to get better that day. But no, when creativity strikes, you gotta do it.
Seize it.
That gets me in trouble a lot.
Oh yeah. Why is that?
Well, no, and with myself, you know. Well, with myself, you know, I'm getting ready for bed, like I told you earlier. I'm going to bed at 9:30, right? So I'm waking up early. But I'll get into bed and be sitting there trying to fall asleep and go, oh, dude, shit, that sounds good. And I'm getting up and I'm trying to, and I'm just going to lay it down really quick. And then you look at the clock and it's 3 a.m. And I'm like, guess I'm not getting up early tomorrow, you know? So,
dude, I feel that so hardcore. I can't even tell you. It's the most annoying thing. My girlfriend gets so upset with me because I'll just be there in bed trying to go to sleep. And I'm like, fuck. And she's like, what? I'm like, fuck. I'm having all these ideas. So I grab a little notebook and I just start writing shit down. Happens all the time.
You never, you never know when that one, you know, creative, you know, moment, that inspiration that you have could, you know, give you your next great thing.
Right.
You got to take it all, every opportunity.
And so how do you keep tabs on stuff? Like, the reason why I'm asking this is because I know we have a lot of bedroom producers listening to the show, and I feel like to become successful in this, you have to have a real balance of, you know, the creativity, but there's also going to be some types of structure in there too, right? Like, I mean, as you said yourself, you carve out time, you know, to get better, like every
day. You got to carve out time, but you also got to make sure you're having fun. At no point in this, and you know, everybody, I fall victim to this every now and then, where you're sitting there and you're just forcing yourself to sit down and try to make stuff. And it doesn't get fun, right? Again, like we were saying, like I love the fact that I'm making something and it makes me feel happiness. Mm-hmm. And if I'm trying to force myself to do that, it's not going to happen. So you've got to keep it balanced, right? As much as I'm here saying I'm grinding, I'm working hard, you got to make sure you don't burn out in anything. Because if you burn out one aspect of your life, everything else is going to start kind of trickling away. You know what I mean? It's going to bleed into work. It's going to bleed into relationships, friends, fam. So you got to be able to really, you know, understand why you're doing it, which is
right
to give yourself a little joy every day. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting, man, because, you know, that's something that I've definitely felt too. You know, and I'm sure, Samir, I don't want to speak for you here, but I'm sure you have as well. You know, when you are balancing your regular job type of thing, you're balancing a relationship, then you're balancing on top of that, you know, a side project, right? That could become something more, or might always say a side project. But there's just a lot of stuff that goes on. I feel like I'm constantly juggling stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is hard sometimes when you just sit there and you're just forcing yourself to sit down because you carved out some time and you're like, shit, I'm not feeling very inspired right now. So are there any like tips and tricks that you do to kind of get yourself more in an inspirational state, or do you just kind of accept it and it's like, it is what it is? Like if it's not working, it's not working.
I mean, you know, like earlier today, I'm chopping out a remix for working on one with my buddies, Wait What, and I'm sitting here trying to do it, wasn't really feeling it. Went on a little walk. I'm right next to Washington Square Park here in San Francisco, you know, got a nice little view.
Nice.
Very nice.
Listening to music, I'll sit, you know, a little bit of everything. But you can't force yourself. If I do all that and I'm just not feeling it, let's say I carved out some time on a Sunday, but you know, I had a little too much fun Saturday night. I already know. I'm sitting in bed and I'm watching, you know, The Outsider all day. I'm watching Dave. You know what I mean?
I always find that this type of stuff interesting because it's, you know, I think for myself too, it's hard to stay on top of yourself to the point where it's like, okay, at the end of the day, you got to still be having fun, right? And you can't, there's a lot of pressure that comes with to trying to build something like this, you know?
A lot of people forget that too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people forget that, you know, these artists are, they're just trying to have fun. They're trying to, you know, live out their dream of having music be their full-time job, and they're having a great time. A lot of people forget that, you know?
Yeah, they do. We also tend to forget that they're people, that they're human beings.
You know, you're an artist, you're trying to grow yourself in the EDM scene. You are a major part of it. You're an EDM champion. So let me ask you, man, what sorts of trends are you seeing in today's electronic music scene that you are excited about? And then on the flip side of that, also worry you?
Oh, okay.
So both sides of it.
Yeah. I am loving how much diversity is going on right now. I'm loving how these all these artists are starting to kind of, you know, it seems like widening out and doing all this different stuff instead of just doing, you know, one genre the whole time is getting more out there, I guess. And it's exciting for me because that's what I love to do. Like, even on this mix, you guys heard, I'm all over the place.
Totally.
But that's because I like the journey of it. I like the roller coaster of it. I like taking you left and then cranking you back right. You know what I mean? It's something that's worrisome. I don't know. It's just, it's the same worrisome with everything in every aspect of life. Everybody thinks that they are the most expert on any topic that they find enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like, even today, everybody gassed Nicali for saying Subtronics is OG dubstep. Everybody that's blowing him up right now is thinking that they're literally a dubstep connoisseur. Like, they've been studying dubstep.
Freaking professor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You got to take everything with a grain of salt.
God, yeah, people need to chill.
Yeah, for real, dude, for real. And so, like, when you see, like, negativity online and, you know, kind of stuff that's kind of unsavory swirling around in the electronic music scene, like how do you react to that? Like, how do you stay away from that sort of nonsense and just focus on creating music that makes you happy?
You can't take anything personally. Nothing.
Totally.
You know, everybody's saying something just because they want a reaction, right? Like, The funniest thing I see on EDM Twitter is when somebody will gas an artist, the artist will reply, like saying, like, hey man, that wasn't very nice. And then the fan that was doing said gassing replies back, oh, I'm so sorry, I love your stuff. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, they're just trying to get theirs.
And there's also, I think, part and parcel of just there being social media now that people just want to be heard. Right. And so they don't care. They just want to shout out and just be like, someone listen to me. Right. Like, I want to feel like my opinion is valued. OK, right. Well, a lot of the times no one values your opinion anyway. OK, so you can stop shouting out into the abyss. I mean, literally, people just sit there and they're just sitting there like, oh, what am I going to go shout about now? Right. I mean, that's kind of how tweeting is, you know, but it's something that gets me kind of like torn, because at the same time, while there's a huge part of social media is all this kind of self-promotional stuff that I really am not always a fan of, there is a lot of value though for people like artists or for companies and for that, in terms of creating a brand and getting new fans and things. And so, like, what's your type of strategy with that? Have you been using social media to gain fans? Are you one of those that kind of just like, you know, I'll post some things every now and then, you know, and get some followers?
Yeah, no, I've, you know, tried to force myself to grind on that, even though I don't like it, but...
I hear you.
I'm not the biggest fan of sitting on my phone for 2 hours every day, you know what I mean?
No,
but
man,
the internet's for sure made it easier at the end of the day. Like, as taxing as it is, having to do all that, you know, reaching out, guerrilla networking, I guess, almost is what you'd call it, but... At the end of the day, we're at a point right now with how connected everybody is on the internet that, like, people like me in my position can be heard, which is a blessing.
Absolutely. I mean, it is definitely one of those situations where it's it's a double-edged sword, right? And the ways that make social media amazing, or also the ways that it can hurt you at the same time, right? Like that. Just Twitter's one of them, right? I mean, just where you got people backlashing at it. You can also have people retweeting your latest post about a song that you just dropped, right? So
yeah,
there is that back and forth with it. And Samir, I mean, I know it's like social media, man, for us. It's like, I'm not a big social media user outside of, you know, Beyond the Beats or even my job. So it's hard. But I will say, though, that we have experienced some of them. They're just the nicest interactions actually have been through social media with absolute strangers. So shout out to all the EDM champions that have been hitting us up. And I'm sure, Tyler, you've probably had similar things too. We've got people just randomly being nice to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's how, exactly. That's how I got connected with you guys.
Actually, that's true. You got random people. Samir's sliding
into my DMs. Yeah, exactly.
Totally, dude.
Yeah, like, we're trying to...
Hey, you up?
Yeah.
You up, baby?
I was, and I was not.
You got any more
of
them
not
D's?
Yeah.
Them IDs?
He's not up.
Yeah, I was asleep, fool.
Absolutely.
Straight up leaving me on read. This has been a really, really great conversation. Like, it's just fun to like hear like how artists are progressing in their career, where they started from, where they are now, and where they're going. Is there anything else that you feel like the EDM champions and the EDM world should know about you?
The one thing I would hope they all know is how much I love this, right? Like, at the end of the day, I could, you know, in 5 years be at the point I've always wanted to be at, where I'm, you know, touring and traveling. Or in the next 5 years, I could, you know, still be here. At the end of the day, I'm still going to be having a hell of a good time as long as every day I'm making stuff that was better than yesterday. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
What a great way to cap it off. Yeah. Tyler, honestly, man, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We've honestly, just from day one, man, we are supporting absolutely everything that you're doing, and we appreciate what you're doing for the EDM scene as a whole. This injection of creativity, the no boundaries attitude that you have to making music, it's awesome, man, and it just keeps the scene alive. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, and thank you, you know, for having me on. I tell you guys this almost too much. I might be chopping off your ears, but, you know, what you guys are doing for, you know, guys like me, my position is, it, you know, it can't be thanked enough. You know what I mean? Just having...
Thank you, brother.
Having,
that means a lot.
Yeah, having that kind of mutual respect. You know, it's a two-way thing. So thank you guys a lot for having me on.
Thank you, homie. And so if our fans, if our EDM champions want to peep your stuff, like, how can they connect with you? What are the socials? Let us know.
Yeah, so Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, I'm Tyler Lawrence. You can reach... I'm on Instagram at... Tyler Lawrence Music, and Twitter at the T Law.
And what about MySpace?
Yeah, that's I haven't updated that in a while. I think my MySpace song was Vans by The Pack. Wow, what a throwback.
Interesting.
Huh?
Jeez.
Quick question for you. What is your favorite Green Day song off of that American Idiot album?
Oh, Jesus of Suburbia.
Great song.
Love that. Wow, that was rapid fire.
Dude, that's something. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby. That's a 7 minute. That's what I'm talking about. Diversity. That song is 7 minutes of you know, hardcore rock, punk section, love ballad, back to, you know, heavy metal. Like, oh my God.
I love the passion. I really do. Dude. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. We really, really do appreciate it. Thanks for always sharing your music with us, man. It like, we just love it. We really do. And EDM champions, if you guys want to connect with Tyler Lawrence, he already said his socials, but don't forget, he's also going to be on beyondthebeats.co. We're going to have a little profile about him, all the links to the socials, to his fantastic Beyond the Beats session that he just did. It's all going to be there. So don't forget to go check it out. But, dude, we are excited to see where you go, and we can't wait to support you every step of the way.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. Awesome. It means a lot, brothers.